Friends, let us turn in the Gospel of John and chapter 8. And our text is verse 12, where our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said of himself. When he spoke these words, it was early in the morning. We know that from the second verse. And early in the morning, he came unto, or all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. So it's early in the morning. He comes from the Mount of Olives, it says in verse 1. And he is sent before him, this woman who is caught in adultery. And if you have Bibles that questions the validity of these verses at the beginning of this chapter, the verses 1 through to 11, be very careful of that. This is part of the inspired text of the scripture, and it is recording what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this woman. And it's a wonderful truth that took place. But what we see here is this woman is brought. She's been caught in the night, in the very act, when everything was dark. She's caught in the midst of her sin. And she's brought before the Lord Jesus. And to their amazement, she's forgiven by the Lord Jesus. She's been dragged through the streets. They want to make a show of her, but not that. They're not so much concerned about the adultery. They're more concerned about catching Jesus Christ, to judge him, to condemn him. That's the plan. And so then the Lord Jesus Christ puts them all to shame. And he says that, which one of you is there that hasn't sinned? You take up the stone and you cast the first one. And of course, they're brought to shame. They are ashamed of themselves. And you think to yourself, if you were in that position, would you cast the stone? I certainly wouldn't. I would be the first one to leave. You see, the Lord convicts us even by his words. So after these accusers are gone, he looks up. There is this woman there, is looking at him, and she walks away being forgiven. She walks away as well with the words of challenge, go and sin no more. You must repent. You must turn away from your sin. So after all of these religious leaders are gone, yet there is still a group of Pharisees that have come down with him. They have seen the whole thing. They've heard a lot of the things that took place before and now here, and then they see what happens next. And he turns to these Pharisees. He turns as well, we presume that his disciples are there too. And he says to them something amazing. He says, I am the light of the world. And remember, it's early in the morning. The sun is rising. And we could imagine it, can't we? That the sun is shining brightly upon them right there. And he says, I am the light of the world. Have you ever heard someone calling himself the light of the world? Why did he say that? Because Jesus is the Son of God, and he is sent by the Father from heaven, and he's been sent to save us from our sins, and he died upon that cross to do that very thing. It cost him his heart's blood. It cost him his own life. And that gives, as a sinner trusts in him, they are given that new life, eternal life. And they can never lose that life. Because if anyone to whom Jesus Christ gives life, if they lose it, it means the Lord Jesus Christ's work is not finished. He can't keep his own. But he has promised that none of his saints, none of his believer disciples will ever be lost. And so he's looking to them and he's speaking to them after this occasion. He says, Look at the sun, as it were, with the light of it pouring out. And then look at me. I am the light of the world. All the light that this sun is giving, it is only giving that light for your bodies, the bodies of men. I have come to do and bring this light for the souls of men. Later on, after this, he says in chapter 12 of John and verse 46, similar words. He says, I am come, in John 12 and verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Are you spiritually in darkness? Are you confused? Is your mind filled with questions, or maybe no questions at all? Some people are very careless about their own soul, not thinking much about themselves. Life can become so busy, friends. Boys and girls, life can become so busy. You think about tomorrow, going to school, doing the various things, come home, do some homework, do some games, do some things, read some books, whatever you might be doing. And this whole circle of life, as it were, morning to the evening, and the same thing is repeated again and again and again. And that can have a tendency upon us for us to not think beyond that, to think this is all life is about. And if you think like that, how miserable that is. But now this morning, I want us to think that this life of Jesus Christ must shine into my heart, must shine into your heart. And I want to compare the Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his mission to the light. And want to say three or maybe four things about the Lord Jesus Christ being the light of the world. How necessary is light for us? It gives us life. That's the first thing. Life. How important, how vital is Jesus Christ to us? He gives a sinner beauty. He gives beauty to the soul of a sinner. And also, thirdly, there is the word of safety in the light. We could say many other things about this, but these are just the three things I want to speak on. Life, beauty, and safety. Friends, we are dependent on light for life. The light of the sun, you think about it, it has no power to make dead things alive by simply shining upon them. You get your something you find on the roadside and you drag it into your house or outside and wait for the sun to come out and for that sun to shine upon that animal, dead animal. Or after your plant has died, you take it out into the light and you just wait and wait and wait. Will it come to life? Of course not. It won't come to life. So you think about taking a body of a child, a man, a woman who has died. No amount of sunlight is going to do the raising from the dead. The light has no power of itself to do that. I can't give life. You cannot give life. God gives life. Light itself cannot give life. And my friends, when there is no light, life doesn't exist. You cannot find life where there is no light. We are talking about no light at all. We know of certain creatures that exist in the depths of the oceans. And they are finding these things. And it is an amazing thing. But all the time they say, but they have certain devices that is able somehow, amazingly, capture the smallest ray that no human measurement can detect. No human device can detect. But God has created those creatures to detect the smallest amount of light that shines in. Light may not give life, but it preserves life. It helps things to be preserved and keeps that life where it exists. The light of the sun is needed in order to keep alive the grass and the plants and the flowers and the trees, and it is needed to keep our bodies. You would die if you were staying just in your room. If you never got out, you would be malnourished. You would have various problems. It keeps us alive. And if light was taken away, all the trees of the forest would die. And everything that you see is alive, it would die. Light is necessary for the preservation of life. Life of our bodies. And the life of all things about us. And for this reason, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I am the light of the world. He's more necessary for the life of our souls than the light of the sun is for the life of our bodies. The light which shines from Jesus Christ and of which he speaks in this passage, in this verse, this light is the truth taught us in the Bible about his character, it's about his work, about what he says about himself. We are not saying that we have to go and have a picture of Jesus Christ and there is light coming from that. No, no. We are not to make any graven images of God, be it God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. But it is through his work we receive his light and life. It is as we trust in him, as we study who he is, as he's revealed himself in the scriptures, that we come to find out who he is. And that's the life of our soul. And the light that comes from Jesus Christ, the light of his truth, the light of his gospel, it gives life to souls that are at the moment miserable and dead. I was reading a book while we were on holiday about the persecution of believers during the Cold War after the Second World War, throughout the countries where it was dominated by communism and Russia. And how these Christians, they were put in places where there was no light. They were shut all of the windows, all of the doors, and put these Christians in these prisons. And then they found something, that these Christians were still happy. And they thought, why are these people so happy? We have pulled out all of their nails. We have done all kinds of things to them, which I won't mention. And yet they're happy. How are they happy? They're singing the praises of someone who's died for them. And they kept saying, repeating to them through the speakers, God is dead. God is dead. Jesus Christ is a liar. As they would hear this all day through to brainwash them. And yet, they would unlock the doors thinking they've done the job. And yet these people come out, they are still happy, and they are singing God's praises. And yet they themselves were miserable. The prison keepers, they themselves are miserable. And the author said this, communism and atheism makes people miserable, is unhappy. And then they did something else. They said, well, we will separate them. The problem is they're all together. So we'll separate them, put them in their own confined spaces. And still, it did not work. It did not work. Why is that? Because in those darkened cells, the light of Jesus Christ was still shining. No one can stop where Jesus Christ goes by his Spirit. He went amongst those disciples when they had shut all of the doors and they were filled with fear. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared in their midst and he says, peace. Friends, when ministers of the gospel, when any preacher is preaching, when Christian people read about this gospel of Jesus Christ, when they teach it to others, when we bear witness of it to other people, what are we doing? We are casting out, scattering out this light of Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the scripture says. And the light, in that way, as we scatter it, has the power of giving life to souls that are dead in sins. It does that. And the Word of God is so powerful. And that's why, my friends, if you're not converted, what should you do? To put yourself under the preaching of the Word of God. To be reading your Bible and trust in the words that you're reading. Believe the things that you're hearing. And pray to God, Lord, open my heart. Shine into my soul. There may be some people who won't do that. I would have never come to a church like this. I would never have come to any place of worship except someone witnessed to me and invited me. So those of you believers, what an opportunity that you have to invite people. Not just come and be blessed yourself, but invite people to come and join with us. And then there are people who come or who may come for wrong reasons. And even they don't want to listen to the sermon. We can pray, can't we? In Northamptonshire, there's a little village. It still exists. I checked it. It's called Aldwinkle. A very strange name, a very small town now. I think they have about 300 people. Maybe it's a village. But many, many years ago, in the 1800s, there was a godly minister there. He was called Pastor Hawes, I believe. And the church organ, it broke. And they had got a new organ. And it became the news of the town. Everybody was going to go. And in those days, most people would have gone to a place of worship. And this minister believed the Bible and preached the gospel. And he was going to use this opportunity that day. He knew there would be a large congregation coming, not for the right reasons. They were coming for the organ. And my friends, there are people today who go to church for wrong reasons. And they would go to places where there's lots of sound and lots of noise. Let us not be doing that. But even in the midst of all of those things, there is hope. If the word of God is preached, there is hope. But there was a man, I did read his name, I've forgotten his name now, but he was a pub owner. He was the innkeeper, and he hated the gospel. He didn't love Christians at all, and he was known for it. But he loved music. So he thought to himself, well, I want to go. What should I do? I want to go and see this organ and hear it. So he devised a plan. He said to himself, when I go, I won't listen to the preaching. But he had got, he said, I would put my fingers into my ear. And when there is prayer offered up, when the minister is talking, I won't listen. And I have my hands over my ears, my fingers in my ears. And that will do the job. So he went, and he did that very thing. He didn't hear a thing. But as the minister was preaching, so he enjoyed the music, and then when the minister preached, he put his fingers in his ears. But as the minister was preaching, this fly came and sat on his nose, and he did everything he could do to shoo away this fly, but it was a very sticky fly or something. I don't know what it was, but the fly would not go. Of course, it was sent by the Lord. And so all he could do is to take his fingers out of his ears to shoo it off. And as soon as he did that, he heard this message. He says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was shot to the heart. He said, how did God know? How did this fly know? And the Lord convicted him. He went home, he picked up a Bible, and he began reading it. And he became one of the evangelists of that day, in that town, in that village, and was a blessing to that gospel minister. My friends, this is the power of God's word. God works in mysterious ways. God works in amazing ways. He's sovereign over every creature. So don't be discouraged. Maybe you're here and you have been distracted and you're not listening to the word of God, but we can pray for individuals. We can pray that God would like an arrow, shoot his arrow of his word into someone's heart and save them. And the Lord Jesus Christ says these wonderful words, I am the light of the world. He's the light that comes into our heart. That man who heard the voice of the scriptures, voice of Christ. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. He heard Jesus Christ. The light shone into his heart. His darkened mind began to see his life of what it was. He was a sinner. He needed to be saved. I am the light of the world. Has Jesus Christ shined into your heart? Is he the light that has come to you? Is he the light of your life? My friends, if you have the Word of God, and if you believe the Word of God, what it says to you about Jesus Christ, if you believe it with all of your heart, if you obey its commands to come unto Jesus Christ and be saved, to believe that this is the lamp to your feet and the light to your path, as Psalm 119 tells you. It will guide you. It will lead you. It will remove your confusions. It will answer your prayers. And most of all, it will bring you to Jesus Christ, because this is his word. He's speaking. Again, I remember reading a diary or portion of a diary of a man who was walking near some tents of some gypsies. This is again many years ago. He went amongst them, and to buy some things from the tables that were out there. And he found out that there was a child who was dying, some sort of an illness that child had, and he was dying. And he said to the father, "Can I go and see your child?" And he said, "Well, as long as you don't teach him religion." That's what he said. "Don't talk to him about religion, or I'll set my dogs on you," he said. And this man, who was a preacher of the gospel, he said, "No, I won't talk to him about religion, but I will talk to him about Jesus Christ. That's what I will do." And he said, "Okay, you can talk to him about Jesus Christ." So he went to this child who was not moving, was not indicating that he could hear, and he kept repeating the words of John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And he said it five times. There was no movement. There was nothing. And he thought, "Well, should I just go? The child is not going to wake up." And he said, "I will say it one more time." For the sixth time, he said this. And then suddenly there was movement. The child opened his eyes, and he turned around and said, "And I never thanked him. So I am hearing now that God so loved the world, and I never thanked him for the things that he has given me. He's given me so many things, and I never thought of him. I will now thank him for the rest of my life. Whatever life I have, I will thank him now. I'm only a poor gypsy lad, but I will thank him." And so the boy began to thank the Lord for coming into this world and for dying for him. And the minister was rejoicing. And the father came in and said, "What has happened to my child? Why is he so joyful and thankful?" And he said, "Because he's met with Jesus Christ." And that child died a couple of days later. But this is, again, the Word of God coming into a person's heart that was ignorant, didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is sharper than any two-edged sword, the Scripture says. Comes and saves, and that's what happened to me. That must have happened to you as well. In some way, the truth of the gospel came. And some of us, we were facing with sin, and we saw how awful we were. Some of us, the word came and we saw the love of Christ. Some of us, it came and we were in the midst of all kinds of confusions, and the Lord Jesus answered our questions one after the other in all various ways, but we came to Jesus Christ. That's the point. The light comes and it shines into our darkened hearts. Well, we must move on now to the second thing. We need light for life. We need Jesus Christ for a spiritual life. But secondly, light brings beauty. Beauty. Light is one of the most beautiful things that God has made. And Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. Light is beautiful in itself. And it makes other things beautiful. All the beauty that we see in this world, anything that we see around us, we owe to what? We owe to the light. Light makes everything to become clear. Suppose you go to a beautiful garden full of beautiful flowers on a dark night. Do you ever visit gardens in the night? How many colors will you see among those flowers? Only one color. And what is that color? It's black. It's dark. Suppose you go to a gallery of beautiful paintings and all the lights are out and it's all dark. How many colors will you see in those paintings? Only one color. It's black. You must have light to bring out the view of all the different colors of the flowers in the gardens and the paintings in the gallery. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And my friends, to the eyes of those who are spiritually blind, everything is dark about Jesus Christ. His light must shine in to our soul and give us light. And then we see the beauty of Jesus Christ. But not only that, when a sinner's heart is opened up and the light of Jesus Christ shines in to that blackened heart, that soul becomes beautiful in the presence of God. Not in the presence of himself, maybe not in the presence of others, but in the presence of God. The soul, the sinner who receives Jesus Christ, receives the beauty of the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ is altogether lovely, the scripture says. And he makes those in whom he works lovely too. We are so concerned about our looks, our beauty, how we'll be seen of others. But let us think about how does God see me? Well, how does God see you? The Bible says that God sees us as sinners who are separated from him because of our sins. And what an ugly picture that is. What an ugly sight that is. None of us like our own sins. Do you like when you do things wrong? I never like that. I hate that. I don't want that. I hate the lying and the gossip and the pride. And when you see it in other people, it's so easy to see it in other people, isn't it? We see it in other people and we don't like it. I don't want to be that friends with him. I don't want my children to be siding with that person or his children. It's all ugly. Sin makes us ugly. The habits and the thoughts that would make us blush if other people knew about it. The ugly things that are done in private, the ugly words. So we don't like our own sins. We don't like the sins of others. And if you are like that, how much more God, who has eyes, pure eyes, who is holy. And so how amazing it is when the Lord Jesus Christ looked at that woman and then said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It's mind-boggling. This is the man who never sinned. And here's a woman who's been caught in the act of adultery. But this is the truth. That we who are lawbreakers, we who have all the records, the camera of God, if I could use this, the camera of God has taken a snapshot of everything. Of everything in our lives. And he could send you letters, as the government might send you letters if you speed. And they say, we have got a picture of you. And the Lord has a picture of you. And how is it erased? How could a holy God receive me, a sinner? That is why Jesus Christ came. That is why he's the light of the world. That's why I need him. That's why you need him. He died for us. And all our guilt and sin debt was given over to him. All the darkness of our soul was given over to him. Even the sky became black when he died. When the world became black when Jesus Christ died. Because the Father, God the Father, was punishing his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why you and I need him. Need him to shine upon us with his life, with his beauty. And when we believe and when he gives us a new heart and he gives us eternal life, he makes us acceptable before God. He gives us that beauty that we need. So Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He gives eternal life and he makes people beautiful because he is beautiful. He cleanses our ugly account of sin in the presence of his own Father. And finally, there is the word of safety. There is safety in the light. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. We use light for safety. You try driving late at night with no lights on. It is fearful. It is unsafe. So we use light for safety. And Jesus may be compared to the light of safety. There is danger in darkness. We also see things that are not there in darkness. You're afraid in darkness. If you're in a house for the first time, some of us get used to it, but if you're there in a house for the first time and it's all dark, it's all, and you're alone for the first time, it is unsettling. Children know this. We have to put a light on every night, and it grieves me because of all the electricity that is being used, but that's another story. But the children need it. They feel safe because there is light on. In darkness, we cannot see the evils that threaten us when it's dark. And if there are dangers, we don't know how to escape them. And even if we know there is danger here, we don't know where to turn to. We don't know which way to run to when it's all dark. And we can't see. When it is all dark, we're often fearful. It's under the cover of darkness, you see, that the thieves go to rob. It is under the cover of darkness that murderers kill. And all sorts of wicked people do bad things in darkness. And our Lord Jesus Christ said in another place, he that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So it is when we go away from our home, when we go maybe on holiday, we put a timer for the light to come on in the house, for people to think there's someone is in. It's for safety of our homes that we put on the light. When you go into the town, why is it? You think to yourself, why is it that the jeweler's shop, why is it the bank, all the lights are on? Why is that? Because everyone will see inside. If robbers and the thieves go in, the police can see them, people can see them and report them. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Because he brings salvation wherever he comes. He brings his peace. He removes fear. And that's why he often said, let not your heart be troubled. Do not fear, he said. Fear thou not, little flock, and so on. And salvation means safety. When we learn to know Jesus Christ, when we receive him, when we trust him, we are safe. Before that, we are not safe. Solomon said this in Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And when we learn to know Jesus Christ, when we trust him, it is just as if a beam of light is shining down on our path to show us the way to a safe hiding place. While we are without the Lord Jesus Christ, our soul is not safe. You are not in a safe place my friends. However you try to make yourself, your body, to be in a safe place, your soul is not in a safe place. We are not safe because Satan tempts us and binds us and blinds us and deceives us. We are in danger even towards God because we are God's enemies in that place. God is our enemy when we are not in Jesus Christ. He must judge sin. And when we are rejecting him, when we are offending him, when we don't want him in our lives, and as a just God, he must deal with our sin. But when we run to the light of Jesus Christ, when we trust him, he keeps us safe. Then we become the enemy of Satan. Then we become the friend of God. Not only friend of God, but a child of God. Adopted into his family. Now we call him Father. And it's no longer just a prayer. But from the depth of our soul, we cry, Abba, Father. Because of his grace. Have you found that place of safety? Are you under the light of Jesus Christ? There is that lighthouse that shines out to keep those ships in safety so that they might not dash against the rocks. And that's it, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross on Calvary, he was shining forth a light to this world of sinners. And there will be people from every nation and tongue who will come and say, God has shined into my heart. God has changed me. God has brought me into a place of safety. I shall not be lost. This life of mine will never become darkened. Even when I die, my soul will be in that place where the glory of God dwells. You read Revelation 21 and speaks about heaven. And there is no sun there. There is no moon there. Why? The glory of God is there. Jesus Christ is there. So he says, I am the light of the world. He gives you life. He gives you beauty. He protects you, keeps you safe. This is him. So I hope you see him this morning. I hope you go home and you seek his face. You thank him. If you have never thanked him before, from the depth of your soul, you thank him and say, Lord, I was so ignorant of these things. But I have now seen the beauty of Jesus Christ. I've seen that he didn't have to come into this darkened world. But he did come because he has loved us. And I thank thee, Lord Jesus, for ever coming for a poor sinner like me. Oh, that we may never, no longer stay outside or walk away, but actually come into the light by fully trusting him for now and for eternity. Amen.